Chapter 1. Gooseturd Green. On an early morning, I drove 20 miles south of the RISD Museum to visit Sodco, which is one of the largest grass farms in Rhode Island. They are not putting paint in tubes, but they're definitely making green, and a lot of it. At a place like this, with acres and acres of flat fields, you might expect to hear birds chirping, the sound of whirring lawnmowers, of sprinklers misting the air. But in February, it sounded like this.
Be careful on the steps because we don't typically shovel it because we're not letting people come in this way.
Okay.
In the dead of winter, farmland that's usually covered in lush green grass is blanketed in a thick layer of freshly fallen white snow. Maple trees tapped for syrup line the long driveway at the front, and all of the tractors and mowers sit in big warehouses.
You know, like I said, right now it's all white here. As we see green, it means another season is starting for us. And that also means green is coming in and we're going to start making some money, hopefully.
Pat Hogan oversees the farm year-round. It might seem like a pretty quiet existence to work here in the winter. But the thing about grass is that it's constantly changing.
Typically, mid-May till 4th of July, it's what we call the crazy sod season. We're basically, if the sun's shining, it's 7 days a week here. You come in here at 2 in the morning and there's trucks coming in and out.
In the spring and summer months, the entire farm is booming with business. And Pat works endless hours to make sure his clients get the brightest, greenest grass for their front lawns.
They're renting our land for a year because it takes us a year to grow that grass to what they want to have on their front yard.
But there's one important question at the basis of their entire business. Why do people want green grass so badly?
If you buy a house in suburbia, it has a lawn. In a way, it's the accessory that accentuates the house.
To get to the bottom of this question, I asked my Aunt Gina. She lives in Long Island and is a frequent sod user.
We'll use it all the time because we've always had dogs. And I want them to have fun and I want them to be outside. But they do like these laps. Like they turn into a track and everything gets destroyed. So the sod is a kind of a quick fix that you can fill in the lawn and stimulate the growth again. And it's nice. Grass is nice. Dirt and mud are just not, you know, it's not pretty. And there's something about green, like green, health, outdoors. You're surrounding yourself with nature, and, like, you do kind of crave it, now that I think about it.
Green is the color of nature, of grass and trees and fields. But green isn't permanent. When winter comes around, it vanishes. But maybe that changeability, that fleeting quality, is why, in the months that it is around, people are willing to go to extraordinary lengths to get their hands on it, to the point of buying ready-made grass lawns for their homes. For centuries, artists and craftspeople have been trying to capture that grassy green color in nature and freeze it in time so that people could bring it into their homes and make it last year-round. And for a long time, the process of mimicking those rich, earthy hues was a bit peculiar.
What led me to Gooseturd Green is I was actually thinking pretty deeply about a specific work in the RISD Museum collection.
Museum curator Lori Brewer studies the materials that were used to make dye colors in the medieval Netherlands. And recently, while researching a bright yellowish-green furniture fabric, she was very excited to stumble upon a color known as Gooseturd Green.
You could say I'm bewitched. To clarify, you were never using goose turd per se. It wasn't a one-to-one, but it was just people were looking for such exact ways of describing their relationship to nature, so that you would be using such a kind of visceral, evocative from nature terminology to describe the color of the textile. It's so earthy, and then the materials themselves that would create the color during this time period is just as earthy. In this period, the only dyestuffs that are available are natural dyestuffs, organic dyestuffs is what they're called. So those are plants. You could use a fern, or you could use something like foxglove flowers to get green, or birch or ash leaves. But to get a green that really is lasting, you use components to build it up.
For much of the Middle Ages, green plants were used to make green dyes. It makes sense. But in Dutch dyeing workshops, which were run in groups called guilds, dyers eventually realized that they could get colors that lasted much longer and more accurately mimicked nature if they mixed blue and yellow plant components instead. That's how colors like goosterd green came about. But there was a problem with mixing colors to replicate nature.
It was actually frowned upon. It was morally a taboo to be mixing or blending colors. If you're blending things that have borne up out of nature, so say a yellow and a blue, that means you're controlling nature. You were falsifying nature, witchery. You know, you've maybe stepped outside of your place in the natural system of things. And it's very, very strictly regulated because the financial wealth of so many nations was based on their textile industry. If you did that, so there's the phrase going medieval on someone. We've all heard it in our literature. There were financial repercussions, but even physical. Dyers could lose a hand.
So capturing nature to create artworks and textiles was a really hard process with really high stakes. People could lose extremities for making colors. But by the 16th century, times were changing.
Dyers are starting to experiment and say, you know, why are we sticking to this structure? Guilds are starting to dare to blend. They're daring to go into a yellow vat and a blue vat to build their colors. So there's some pushback. People are refusing to be told what to do and rising up and using some more self-direction.
As time went on, people took risks to make goosterd green. This bright, earthy hue became so valuable, and people craved it so much, that laws started to change to accommodate it. For a green that could withstand the test of time, witchery was worth it.